on, let me just follow up with Ching's point. And I'm sorry to sound like an advertisement for the Monday session on universal acceptance, but I also want to highlight that some of the speakers on that panel will come from industry, picking on Ching's last point. We'll have someone remotely from Mozilla, and then we'll also have a representative live from Google and one from Microsoft who can talk to some of the issues that Ching is describing. And it's a non-technical session. So who is studies update? Yay, the final two who is studies that were commissioned by the GNSO Council a few years ago are done, as in completed and final. As you know, these last two studies were on privacy and proxy service abuse and on Whois misuse. They were out for public comment around the time of the Buenos Aires meeting, and the final reports have just come in that address quite a lot of the public comments that were received by members of the community, including a number of GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies. They are published on the website, and I think I have a link to that, so hopefully those who are interested in the issues, especially those that gave public comments, can go take a look at these reports. I'm not going to go through these next few slides, but essentially these are a reminder of what these last two studies were about. One, like I said, is on privacy and proxy service abuse, and the findings based on the hypotheses that was posed to the research team. I want to say again, I think many of you know, but not everybody might, is that the hypotheses that these research teams were asked to test were developed by the GNSO, and many of you know this history better than I do. It's a fairly long and winding process of developing, A, what those studies would study, and we ended up with six, and what those studies would study specifically in terms of the hypotheses tested. So this is the one that was for privacy and proxy services and what the researchers found. They also added on to the study with the GNSO Council's approval and elucidated some more points about it. Again, public comments also mentioned that some of these studies were very useful because not just of the findings, but because of some of the add-ons, if I might call it. The last study on who is misuse, again, like both reports that have been published, both published on the same date, the 18th of March. Again, this is the hypothesis and what the researchers found, both in terms of a general finding as to whether it was true or not, and specifically some of the points that they observed as to, for example, the types of misuse, and also what were the statistically significant factors that led to those findings. More importantly, I think for the council and the community today and going forward, is the next steps to be considered. And here we've tried to summarize a little bit, at least on a very high level, since this would be something that you can't discuss and finalize in 15 minutes, I don't think, of some of the things to be considered. So, for example, it's not just those two studies. There were other studies done before that are all listed on the Whois Studies page, including a registrant identification study, for example. What are the implications of these findings, all of these findings, on ongoing Whois policy work? And in that respect, when these studies were first commissioned and begun, some of the ongoing work that many of us are conscious of now had not yet started. The most obvious example is the expert working group on GTLD data directory services, commonly known as the EWG, and they are coming up with their final report sometime this year. You know that there's already been a couple of status reports. That and a number of other initiatives, how would these findings for the GNSO implicate not just further GNSO work, if necessary, but also more contextually with all this other work that's going on? And so within that kind of analysis, to think about what kind of policy work might be appropriate, might be timely, or not, as the case may be. And so here are just some possible questions in the last few bullet points that specific working groups or the council or indeed the community may want to take up to discuss. And that's it, Jonathan.
Thanks, Mary. So it's pretty clear we've got to take the substantial and outputs from this work over a number of years and think about where we take it, if at all, next. I guess one of the questions I'll be thinking about is where we have this discussion. Are there any immediate comments or questions for Mary now? Yes, Maria.
Yeah, it's Maria Farrell here. Just, I suppose my initial response to a very quick reading of the research is, first of all, that it's immensely helpful, and to thank the staff for carrying it out and providing it so usefully. It reads almost like a first-year philosophy student's a test of reason or logic, because it basically looks at two sets. It says, so look at the logic of these two sentences. Most bad actors use privacy and proxy registration services. Yes, they do. But are most users of privacy and proxy services bad actors? No, actually, generally, it finds for the most part they're not. What are the measurable consequences, negative consequences, of a publication regime of Whois data? Yes, there are significant and measurable consequences of a publication regime. It leads to spam. It leads to misuse of personal data. So, you know, those, I think, are some of the headline topics that I would take out of the research. And tie them, in fact, to one of the things that Michaela Nolan of the Registrar constituency has been saying over the last number of months, which is that there is definitely an issue with publication regime, and particularly when it is in direct contravention of the laws of many of the countries in which registrars and registrants live. So I take that as quite a useful piece of research, one of many, obviously, but I think it's nice to see some numbers behind the privacy laws of many of the countries involved here, and two, the arguments in favour of privacy and freedom of expression and personal safety that we in the non-commercial users constituency have been making for a very long time. So thank you.
Thomas.
I guess the last but one point, and I think the last but one slide, about the relationship with the EWG, is an important one. I guess that there's no way for us to hold up the train for the work that the EWG is conducting, although it's not GNSO-driven. But the question that I have is, does the EWG get to know the outcome of these studies, and are they going to incorporate that into the body of their work? Because the two points that you echoed from the study are some which are, you know, backing up similar experiences in other TLDs, for example, with DINIC, the German CCTLD, the accuracy of Whois data has improved significantly when DINIC was forced to display less data by the local data protection authority. So there is a strong link between what people are willing to give in terms of accurate data and what's being publicized. So I think that definitely needs to go into the thinking of the EWG, and if possible, we would have a say in that as well, because I guess that's one of the core missions of the GNSO, isn't it?
Mary, and then Mikey.
Thanks, Maria. Thanks, Thomas. If I may take Thomas's point first, the EWG is aware of this work, in large part because the staff support for both groups coordinate and communicate with one another very much. The thing, though, is to remember is that each of these studies from the GNSO are extremely specific. They're on very specific hypotheses. They're on very specific aspects of the Whois system. So in many respects, it is different from the work of the EWG. But there are also some overlaps. And one example of that overlap would be, say, on privacy and proxy services. I think, as many of you know, that was something that was called out by the EWG in a status update in Buenos Aires. And they have since done a survey of providers, which I believe they're releasing at this meeting. It's just been released, so I think they'll be speaking to that on Monday, I presume. And in doing that work, they worked quite closely with the GNSO working group on privacy and proxy services accreditation issues. And I actually said that all in one breath. And some of you are members of this group. So there is communication and coordination. I can't possibly answer, obviously, as to how much is going to find its way into the final report. So that's what I can say about this. Maria, on the point that you made, I think, obviously, again, these studies are extremely specific. And so one of the questions that we have here is whether there are areas or issues that are not covered by the studies or that don't demonstrate, or that demonstrate maybe the need for further work. Maybe that's something that this GNSO can explore.
Mikey?
This is Mikey. So I think Thomas has kicked off a really good conversation, which is the coordination of all these orbiting who-is planets. I had a conversation with somebody on the EWG yesterday, and they were saying, well, what happens next? And I said, well, there's this issue report that we started drafting in the GNSO, and then we sort of parked because we were waiting for the results of the EWG, and the thought is that we will fold those together. And they said, well, what's the status of that report? And I didn't know. Is our issue report in a state that it can be shared? I'm looking down to Marika. Do you want to jump in on that? I just didn't know.
This is Marika. The preliminary issue report was published for public comment and is still in that state. But as I said, the preliminary issue report basically just outlines all the work that has gone on WHOIS to this date, outlining some of the different positions, concerns, options that have been considered in the past. And the idea is that once the EWG finalizes its work, that gets slotted in there as the additional piece of information that will need to be considered by the PDP working group. So then the issue report will be finalized and sent to the council. And I think as we discussed before, at that stage, the council may decide that they want to have another public comment forum on that final issue report, or alternatively consider at the start of the PDP working group to open a public comment forum so people can provide additional input on what is in the report as well as the EWG recommendations that can be considered by the PDP working group.
The question that they were asking was, how can we on the EWG shape our results to fit better into that process? And this is back to your point, Thomas, which is this coordination thing. It seems like we've got an opportunity to do more coordinating, but I don't know the mechanism to do it.
Were you wanting to respond to that?
Actually, I had a response to a question that Mary asked previously, so I can wait if you want to go directly. Thanks. Mary, so you made asked a very interesting question, which I know you've been very, very kind to do in the Privacy and Proxy Accreditation Services Working Group. And that was, what are the other types of research that would be useful to inform our work? And I think this goes a little bit to the discussion we had earlier about the metrics and data working group. And that is, good research design can produce qualitative rather than quantitative research results that are usable, but it's quite hard to do. And I'm going to tell you exactly what I have in mind here. One of the things in the non-commercial users constituency that that we harp on about a lot is not simply the qualitative swathe of the volume of registrants and the number of registrants who may suffer small amounts of harm from spam, for example. That can be measured in quantitative terms, how much misuse of personal data is created by the publication regime. But what I have in mind, and what's difficult to couch in research terms but I hope might be possible, is what are the quantitative and quite substantive harms that a very small number of registrants can suffer because of the publication of their personal details. And it's one of the things we talk about a lot in the non-commercial users constituency, and we can only really give anecdotal evidence about, which is the publication of the personal details or the addresses and contact details of a women's rescue center, domestic violence helplines, those kind of things, are nonprofits in countries where there are somewhat more repressive regimes, and that are nonetheless registering in a generic TLD because, of course, it's hard to register in your own country code sometimes. So I'm wondering, maybe, could we at some point work with you on how do we couch some research that is useful and gets above our anecdotal talk about great harms are done to people who, can risk physical or political violence and because of publication of their details in the WHOIS database. So how do we couch some research that kind of gets at that problem and takes it away from the anecdotal, this could happen, to, how much does this happen because I think that when research is purely quantitative, we can lose something, and I would like to. But I know good research design can help us get around that issue.
Okay, Mary, brief response, and then I think we have to chop it at 2:30. We've got 45 minutes.
Not so much a response, but really just to note that that may be one area. And in terms of these studies, at the time that they were commissioned, there wasn't even quantifiable data. And so the overriding wish that led to this was really, can we even get objective, quantifiable, fairly comprehensive data, at least about specific aspects? And most of the public comments received acknowledged that we've at least achieved that for certain specific aspects. The other piece of this is that, as I said, all the studies and the hypotheses were developed through the community. And so it's not ICANN staff that says, you know, we should go and study that. So there's definitely avenues, and maybe that is one of the next steps for discussion as to whether those topics might actually be timely, pressing, and appropriate.
Thanks, Mary. If you could keep it brief, please, and then we'll close things off.
I promise to keep it brief, and it's this soft overway to the next issue. But I perfectly agree that, we had several working groups dealing with different aspects of the same problem or question. I'm in the TNT, for instance, and I would be glad to see if there is anything that is in this report that we can have use for. So just a quick proposal that if you could make some specific points to the other working groups that are ongoing on topics that could be useful for these working groups that we can actually quickly look at and to avoid double work, so to speak.
Thanks, Petter. Amma, did you want to
just a quick clarification? You mentioned the preliminary issue report. Is this the post-EWG preliminary issue? You said it's open for public comment right now?
No. So this isn't regular. So basically what happened, that the board requested a PDP at the same time as they asked the EWG to be formed. So we already started the process of the preliminary issue report. And when was that published? Over a year ago, I believe.
There was one in March of last year.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the one that has been published. And that's now basically on hold until the EWG publishes its recommendations. And when that happens, the idea is that that gets inserted and is presented to the council then as the final issue report. But again, to note on this one, as this is a board-initiated PDP, there is not going to be an intermediate vote from the council on whether or not to initiate a PDP. It basically moves straight into developing the charter working group phase, basically.
I'm sorry. I have a slight problem with this because my understanding is that a final issue report needs to be published within 30 days following the closing of the public comment period of the initial of the preliminary issue report. So having a preliminary issue report published a year ago before the substantive work of the EWG was done and closing the public comment in April of 2013, then not having any more discussion about what's going to end up in the final issue report, I have a problem with that.
And this is Maria. I mean, what is going to be in the final issue report is just the EWG recommendations. Like, with all the information that is in there, we don't make any judgment on whether that's good or bad. We're just saying these are the EWG recommendations, and it's for the working group, you know, to consider those. As said, you know, it's then at the council to decide whether they would like to do another public comment forum on the final issue report. But as I've suggested, I think it would be more useful to use it actually as the starting phase of the working group to get input on the issue report and the recommendations in there than actually on the final issue report itself. Because the issue report just outlines the issue. It doesn't do anything more than that. So
I'm sorry, Marika, but that also determines to a great extent what is included in the charter. When the drafting team starts working on the charter, then a lot of what is in the issue report sort of limits a charter drafting team on what they can include. So it is important to have a public comment period following the findings of the expert working, the substantive findings that have been made since March of last year, and I think that would be all right to have a second round of public comments before a final issue report is before the council settled on a final issue report.
Yeah, and this is Mirka, just to respond and looking at Margie sitting in the room, but my assumption is as well when the EWG finalizes its report that that will also go out for public comment before that presumably is submitted to the board.
Okay,
for consideration,
so I have a suggestion. If you guys could just take this up in a little cluster, make sure that you're either happy with what you understand to take place, Emma, or not, and if not, bring it up in the wrap-up, bring it back to us in the wrap-up for further action. I don't want to bury it, but I just want to make sure that it, you might, with a conversation with Margie, Mary, and Marika, and just settle it or not, and if not, then bring it back to us in the wrap-up, please. All right, we've got a short time, relatively. It's 14:35 now. We're due to meet with Fadi, I believe, at 15:15. So we've got 40 minutes to prepare for our session. Well, nominally, this next session is for Board, GAC, and CCNSO. Sorry, I should have given you the opportunity to close the recording.